So Perek Gimel, third Perek, we made it. We have some very interesting psukim tonight. We'll only get through four. I will tell you that the shift that we're about to discuss brings with it a more difficult time to create connections to modern psychology, because we're going to talk a little bit more about Avodas Hashem, which is obviously not something that modern psychology speaks about, but we will make connections as we go along. I mentioned last week that there are some famous phrases in Mishlei in the third parak, and we don't have to look far for the first one, because the first pasuk is the high part of a Shweki song. Shweki, you've heard of Yaakov Shweki. If you haven't, so then we have other classes to start. Ay, b'ni, b'ni,
t'lirasi al tishka. Wait, who's talking about? Is this Shlomo or this God?
That is a very good point. That's okay. A very good point. The Mitzudas David points that out. Wait a second, who's talking over here? B'ni, Torasi, who's Torah? So first of all, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that someone who learns Torah, it's as if they're Kone. But I don't think that's what it means here. The Mitzudas David points out, as you see in Source number 2, Amar b'makom Hashem. He's speaking in place of Hashem. He's speaking as if he's giving over the message of Hashem. Ata Yisrael, ha-chavivli, my beloved, keben la'av, hinini masircha torasi atishkach. So this is, I find an interesting statement, because oftentimes you'll find someone who thinks that the Torah, Hashem, is just being strict, and he's giving us laws, and he's punishing us and restricting us. So the truth is that Hashem says right here, b'ni torasi atishkach. The reason that I'm telling you Tarasi Atishkach is because you're Bini, because you're my son. I wouldn't be telling you to be so closely connected to the Torah if I didn't think it was really important for you, because I'm your father. I love you like a son. And the reason I'm telling you Tarasi Atishkach, don't forget my Torah, is because it's for your good. It's for your betterment that if you keep the Torah. Maybe you're going to say that some things are strict, some things are difficult, but I'm telling you, b'ni torasi al tishkach. How many parents do we know that bemoan the fact that their children are doing something that they told them not to do, but the children insist on making the mistake themselves? Right? I told you this is going to happen, and that's going to be the consequence. No, the children want to do the mistake themselves and get themselves in their trouble and learn the hard way. Right? And that's what Hashem is telling you. B'ni Torasi Atishkach. Don't forget my Torah. I know maybe sometimes it sounds like it's a difficult thing to do, but know that I'm teaching you as a father to a son, not as some dictator, not as some person telling you things to make it difficult for you. But what we have to understand, first of all, is why is it all of a sudden say, Torasi Atishkach, don't forget it. It sounds like you already have it. There was one earlier reference about this in the first parak. But Rabbeinu Yonah says an interesting thing, and Rabbeinu Yonah is unfortunately not on the database that I use, so I have to say it outside. B'ni Torah Siatishkach, achar shehizhir al drisha sachachma, yasir b'hashah azos al avodas Hashem yisbarach, kimin hachachma magin al avodah, kasher ikdamnu, says Rabbeinu Yonah, the first parak, the first two parakim, were about attaining wisdom. I told you why it's important to get wisdom, what the benefits of wisdom are. So now that you have wisdom, now you've attained wisdom, now I'm telling you, al tishkach. Don't forget the wisdom I told you already. So there's sort of an assumption that we're working with, which is that the person has already attained it, has already attained wisdom. Welcome. You want to join us for Mishlei?
Yes.
You have one. I'm inviting this man.
So where are we holding here?
We're holding on source number 2. We're still on source number 2. This is Rabbeinu Yonah. It says, Torasi Atishkach is referring to the fact that now we have the Torah, we're not supposed to forget it. We're supposed to keep it. And what you'll notice in the pasuk, and he says, and that's why what I said before, we're segueing now, we're transitioning into a different realm. Whereas before it was about attaining wisdom, accumulating it. Now it's about using that wisdom for Avodas Hashem specifically. Specifically for Avodas Hashem. We talked a little bit about the benefits of wisdom and how it can help you in general situations, but now we're going to talk about Avodas Hashem in different ways. And you'll notice in the first pasuk here, it has a very strict or a very clear dichotomy. B'ni Torasi Atishkach. First of all, intellectually, don't forget my Torah. And then, U'mitzvosa yitzor libecha. And my mitzvos, you should guard with your heart, or your heart should guard. Right? So that when it comes to the actions, the mitzvos, the commandments, what we have to actually do practically, so that's for our heart. So what is the difference? The Torah, which is an intellectual pursuit, that you have to make sure you guard it in your head, but the mitzvahs you guard in your heart. Why would you have the differentiation?
Because your heart can lead you astray.
Okay. So mitzvos, losasei, the bad things that you could do with your heart. Good. What else? Kavana, your intention. The heart typically is the headquarters of your emotions. Now, obviously, with Torah, you should care about it. As we said before, chamat monim techapsena. You should search for it like a treasure, like you're passionate about getting it. But that's also the mitzvah part of the Torah, of getting it, of finding it, of searching for it, of learning it. But once you have it, so that's an intellectual pursuit. That's an intellectual storage. You have to keep it in your mind. Right? If you get too emotional about intellect, if you get too emotional about information, oftentimes that can lead you astray. It'll sway or it will color, it would put things into context that they shouldn't be in. Right? Whereas you have a certain halacha, you want it to be one way, and because you want that, emotionally you want that, it's going to affect the intellect. So the Torah says, so Shlomo Melech says, Torasi al tishkach, keep it in your mind. But mitzvosai, when it comes to doing the mitzvos, that should be in your heart. Why? Because it comes to how you care about mitzvos. How you do them is based on how much you care about them. Right? Is it an intellectual pursuit? I have to do this like I'm a robot? Or is it an emotional pursuit? Hashem tells me that I have to give tzedakah. I should care about giving tzedakah. I should be passionate about finding people that need help. Right? But when it comes to mitzvos, that's for our lathe, that's for our emotions. When it comes to understanding Torah, we have to keep it in the intellect. Yeah, Michael.
I'm trying to think of mitzvos where it tells us not to forget, and the only one that came to mind was on the lake.
Okay. Good. Yeah, so that's an intellectual. So there are also intellectual mitzvahs like Amalek. There are not many. There are a few.
Remember when we were taken out of Egypt.
Right, right. To remember that.
To remember. No, not forget.
The
negative of don't forget.
Oh, Al Tishkach. That's also by Mitzrayim. It says that Zechor Al Tishkach is Shiratzitz by Mitzrayim. It says that by Mitzrayim also. Shabbos says Zechor. It doesn't say Al Tishkach. There's also Al Tishkach by Har Sinai, not to forget, or Pen Tishkach it says there, not to forget the moment of Har Sinai. What exactly that means is up for debate.
What about the Toichacha that we just read?
Does it say Al Tishkach there?
Could it be somebody who forgets something? Is there anything like that?
Not that I recall. There is also a commandment to remember what Miriam did by Lashon Hara. But over there it doesn't say Al Tishkach, I don't think. I don't think. Either way, that's an interesting point that there are some examples.
Don't forget the Torah. That's like remember the Torah, so don't forget it.
Yeah, that is interesting. We say by Yosef HaTzadik at the end of Parshas Vayeshev. What does it say? That the butler not only didn't remember him, but he also forgot him. Both of them. So then Parshim say, you know, Vayish Kachayu, well, you already said you didn't forget him. What does it mean, Vayish Kachayu? So he completely got him out of his mind. Not only is it not in the forefront of his mind, he completely forgot about him. Yeah. So that's the first pasuk. Torasi atishkach in the intellectual realm, but mitzvos ayot yitzor libecha, that the mitzvos should be a passionate, an emotional pursuit of yours. And then it says, ki. Now the word ki is always a tricky word. But in this situation, ki orech yamim ushnos chayim, v'shalom yosif ulach. This is also a song. Ki orech yamim ushnos chayim. Okay. What? I have no idea. That's more of a Hasidish song. I don't know. Yeah. It's oftentimes they sing it in conjunction with a big rabbi who we want him to live for a long time. Because this is what the pasuk is saying. Ki orech yamim ushnos chayim v'shalom yosif ulach. It's going to increase for you. What's going to increase for you? The days of your life are going to increase. Why? Yosif ulach means they will be increasing them for you. What's they? Torasi umitzvosai. Right? That my Torah and my mitzvos are that which will continue your life. They will increase your livelihood. That's what you see in source number 4 from Rashi. Shalom yosif ulacha torasi umitzvosai. That my Torah and my mitzvos will add life to your life. Will add days to your life. So you'll, you know, now that we've become keen observers and keen analyzers of the psukim, what can we find in this pasuk that's a little strange? What is Orach Yamim? Length of days. What's Shnos Chaim?
Years of life.
What's the difference between Orach Yamim and Shnos Chaim?
One's quality, one's quantity.
Okay, good. That could be the truth. Let's see. The Gemara in Yuma tells us in source number 6. Amarava. Kimiftari Rabbanim Mahadari B'Pumbadisa. When they used to depart from each other in Pumbadisa, what were their going away greetings? Amri Hachi. Mechaye Chayim Itim Lecha Chayim Aruchim Etovim Umesukanim. That you should be blessed with life from the one who gives life. It doesn't mean to bless people with life. It means don't die. What kind of greeting is that, right? Are there some days that have life and days that don't have life? That when it comes to days of life, there are some days of life. There are some, years of life. Shnos of Shal Adam Hamisapchos Alav. Shnos Chayim means that there are years of your life, and then there are other years of your life. There are years of life that are difficult, and your years of life that are good. So when it says in the pasuk, Orech Yamim Ushnos Chayim, Orech Yamim means literally quantity. How many days are there going to be in your life? Ushnos Chayim, years of livelihood, years of liveliness, I should say. That's about quality of life. And as you can imagine, there are some people who maybe they get old and they don't feel the quality of their life anymore. Everyone has to find for themselves something that's qualitative. But also, even when you're younger, there's a way to live a year and there's a way to not live your year. And oftentimes when it comes to this season, the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we look back and we say, okay, we had the Arichus Yom of 365 days a year. But what about our Shnos Chaim? What about how do we use that year? What did we do? How were the quality of the year? I have a Rebbe who used to say in yeshiva, it's not about how many hours you learn in the Beis Medrash. It's about how many minutes you learn in an hour. Because even a chair could be in the Beis Medrash all day. The question is how long, what you're doing in the chair. It's about the quality of your life, not just about the time of your life. And there's a pasuk which tells us in Bereishis, V'Avram Zakein Babayamim. That Avram was old, he came with his days. What does that mean? He was old and he came with his days.
Well, days attested to what he did.
Good. So the Medrash tells us there are some people that are Zakin and they're not Baba Yamim, and there are some people that are Baba Yamim and they're not even Zakin. Meaning there are some young people that have a quality of life that's already so fulfilled that they're Baba Yamim. They can account for all of their days. They can say, I accomplished all these things in all these days, and they're not even a Zakin yet. And then there are some Zakenim, there are some older people that look back and they don't have any Yamim. That their days aren't very substantial. They can't look back and say, look at all the things I did. They have very few things to do. Some people say that Baba Yamim means, I think the Zohar says, that every single day Avraham Avinu could attest to it. He said, I did something valuable that day and I didn't let any time pass where I wasn't doing something worthwhile. The big kasha on that Zohar is, Avraham Avinu, for the first 40 years of his life, was an idol worshiper. Right? So how can it be that he's Baba Yamim?
Because it led him.
Good. So he used it for his own benefit because he learned about it, which allowed him to understand better what's wrong, not about what's right.
So
in
Laman
what? Laman Yarichun Laman Yitavla.
So what does that mean? That you have a longer life or a better life?
The Gemara says there that one is referring to Olam Hazeh, the other is referring to Olam Haba. That's different. Different opinions say different things about each phrase. Some people say that Laman Yitavlach is Olam Haba. Some people say Laman Yarichun Yamech is Olam Haba. Either way, one of them refers to Olam Haba, one of them refers to Olam Haza. So that's what it means in that context. But if you look at Rashi again, I think we can reinterpret it to mean something else. This might be a Hasidic drasha, I don't know. But Shalom Yosif Lecha Torasi Umitzvosai. That you will have long days, which will increase. The long days will increase Torah siu mitzvosai. Not that your Torah and your mitzvos will bring you long days, but that your long days will bring you more mitzvos. What does that mean? So I mentioned this recently in a different venue, but you look at the Kliyakar on this week's Parsha, which means I had to say it. This week's Parsha, Kliyakar says the following, or Moshe Rabbeinu says the following, Re'ein asat lefnech hayom asachayim yasatov. Today I give you life, and today I give you goodness. So ask the Kliyakar a very simple question. Maybe you would say that what it means is the im tomar. I will skip there. The end of the line. Im tomar lama lo hiktim hatov. Why doesn't it first say do good? Sharei al yedei maaseh hatov yizak lechayim. Because through doing good, through doing mitzvos, so Hashem will reward you with life. As our first interpretation of this pasuk says, Orach yomim mishnos chayim yosifu lecha Torah sayum yosifu lecha through the Torah sayum mitzvosi. So why doesn't it say first Tov and then say Chaim? Instead it says Chaim and Tov. I'll give you life and then goodness. Tshuva l'davar. Sheba l'hazhiro shelo yivakesh lasos hatov v'yeh Hashem kidei sheyichya. Don't do the good things for in Hashem's eyes in order to live. Elo yichya kidei sheyaseh tov. Rather you ask Hashem, I want life so that I can do good. Right? Yom Kippur is coming. We're coming to make our arguments before Hashem. We say to Hashem, Hashem, I'll do mitzvahs, please, just let me live one more year. No, that's the wrong argument. The argument is, give me life so that I can do more mitzvahs for you. Right? Asei l'mancha v'hoshienu. Hashem, do it for your sake. What does it mean, for your sake? Allow me to live so that I can do your mitzvahs. So I can, you know, bring more Torah into the world. As Baro, the purpose of life is not just to live. The purpose of life is to do mitzvahs. And he says, you love life so that you can do mitzvahs. And that's what it means when it says, I give you life, and I therefore give you goodness. Because when I give you life, hopefully you'll be able to do more mitzvahs with it. That's another way that you can understand this pasuk. But going back to the distinction between Orach Yomim and Shnos Chaim, I thought to myself, there's got to be some interesting scientific literature nowadays on the value of quantity over quality of life. And I found a very interesting, probably controversial article, certainly something that we do not agree with, but you'll look here in source number 8, Living Too Long, written in 2014. Should medical research be focused on increasing the quantity or quality of life? For a variety of reasons, past research has focused more on the quantity of life, but the resultant life extension, without reducing aging, has increased the extent of aging and age-related disease, plus pension and social and medical costs, in an unsustainable way. I argue here, this is really his summary, his synopsis, I argue here that medical research urgently needs to be refocused away from cancer and cardiovascular research and onto reducing aging and age-related morbidity, thereby increasing both our health and our wealth. Years are being added to our lives. Life is not being added to our years. The extra years are being added at the very end of our lives and are of poor quality. Very interesting argument, but I mean, to me, it looks like, 30 is the new 20, you know? That's what they say. You know, and that means that 80 is the new 70, right? And goes down the line. That there is a certain quality of life that has been expanded beyond what it used to be with the extension of, you know, the actual years. This article is trying to make the claim that it's not worthwhile to continue living if you just have more years, but not better quality of life. And this, I'll tell you, is antithetical to the Jewish perspective, at least in a assuming that the health is at a sustainable level, of course. But
you had the several famous parts in the place in the Gemara where, you know, the Shifra prayed for
right.
The rabbi to die.
Right. So that's what I meant to say. Assuming that the health is at a sustainable level, there are situations where, you know, chas v'shalom, there are times where it's better for the person to not have to go through the suffering, but that's a very difficult threshold to determine. Very difficult.
The thing is, he's talking about spending millions of dollars finding ways to improve people's qualities of life. If they would promote healthier living, sensible living, and not have an obsession with fame and
right, that could be too. So I thought about that in some ways too.
This sinful, shallow life, you know.
Yeah. So I thought about in some ways too that much of his focus is on the cost of living, and that you're draining the resources. The children won't inherit anything.
Yeah,
okay, Nebuch. The children won't get money, so then they'll have to work. Right? So then, fine. I mean, that shouldn't be the determining factor. The fact that you're getting old and have to spend money, you're still alive. So the Gemara tells us in Sota. Interesting Gemara in Sota tells us that there were three advisors of Paro when it came to what to do with the Jewish people. One advisor was Yisro. Yisro said, don't kill the Jews. He ran away. Well, and then Eov said nothing. And then Bilam, go kill him. So what were the punishments? Bilam got killed. Yisro became, as everyone knows, what Yisro became. And what about Eov? A lot of suffering. So ask Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in his Sichos Mister, I don't understand. Bilam at least was killed instantly. He was the one that should have got the harshest punishment. And Eov is sitting there with a life of pain and suffering. Why does he get the harshest punishment? So obviously, as you can probably imagine, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, even a life of suffering is still a life. And that's more valuable than not being alive at all. No matter what the situation is, obviously there is a threshold. But there is a certain value to life that we hold dear, which is against this article. But it is interesting to note that even in the secular literature, there is a debate going on whether or not there is a quality of life which should overrule the quantity of life. And there are some unfortunate things happening in assisted suicide type things in Europe that are very unfortunate. And much of the religious world is praying they don't creep over to America because it could get very, very dangerous.
It's not unfortunate, it's evil.
Healthcare providers now are required to take classes in pain management.
Right. Right, so there are some things, there are some indicators that there are.
Dr. Kevorkian's rationalization for doing what he did. So that's why they changed it. So healthcare providers have to take that.
That sounds a little intense. Okay. So then the next problem we have in the pasuk is, wait a second, okay, so we got Orach Yamim Ushnos Chaim. It's because whether you're doing mitzvos and you're doing Torah or the life is going to allow you to do more mitzvos and Torah. But what about shalom? We just completely skipped the word shalom. How are you going to get more shalom? What exactly does shalom have to do with this situation? So first of all, you can understand it the weird way that I understood that shalom yosivu lach, that when you have peace, you'll be able to do more mitzvos and Torah. But understanding it the traditional way, that being a person of Torah and mitzvos is going to lead to Orach Yamim Mishnos Chaim, so how is being a learner of Torah going to lead to shalom? So who wants to quote the verse that we all know, or the rabbinic statement that we all know that should be the answer to this question? Okay, good. So first of all, that's one. That's not the one I was thinking of, but I did have that down. We say when we put the Torah away that the ways of the Torah are shalom. That if you follow the Torah, you will be in a place of shalom. Now, obviously, that requires you to follow it correctly, but that is the guarantee that Hashem gives us. You follow the Torah, you'll get shalom. As we said a few weeks ago in the parsha, tamim tiyah im Hashem elokecha. Oftentimes people think on a halachic level, what that means is follow Hashem, don't believe in any other powers, etc. But it could also be read in the Hasidish way, tamim tiyah, you will be complete. You will have everything you need if you're im Hashem elokecha. If you're with Hashem, you follow Hashem's ways, then you will be tamim, you will have a wholeness to your life that you won't need anything. And as we know, shalom is from the word shalem, to be complete. And here, there's another, what? Right, Yitain L'cha Shalom, for sure. It's one of the brachos that we have from the Kohanim. If you look at source number 9, brachos samachat, another thing that we say often, many times throughout the week, or at least a couple times on Shabbos, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam, Shnemar V'chol Banayach Limudei Hashem V'rav Shalom Banayach. Al Tikrei Banayach Ela Bonayach. That the Jewish people, when they study, and they're studying wisdom, so then they will bring more shalom into the world based on this pasuk. But how do you see shalom in the world based on people that learn? There's a story that Rav Herschel Schachter loves to tell. That one time a cardinal came to YU and he said, "What's the secret of the Jewish people? I want to figure it out." So they brought him to the Beis Medrash. And they saw chavrusas. What were the chavrusas doing? Screaming at each other. They were screaming at each other, says the cardinal to this group of rabbis, "I don't understand, how is this the thing that's going to help you?" So he says, "This is not the key. The key is when they're finished. because once they finish, they walk out and they go eat lunch together. Doesn't matter that they screamed at each other all day. Doesn't matter that they argued over every single word of the Gemara. When they get up, they're able to go away and be friends. Why? Because for them, shalom means being able to disagree but still get along. Shalom doesn't mean to be able to never disagree. That's, first of all, impossible. And it's inevitable that you're going to disagree at some point. Shalom rather means to be able to disagree, but understand that you're working towards the same goal. And I remember one time when I was in yeshiva, I was learning Daf Yomi. I had a stretch during Daf Yomi. Maybe we'll start it up again in January. We'll see how much interest we have in the shul. But one time I was learning Daf Yomi, and I couldn't figure out the Gemara. Because Rava said one thing, and then Abaye said something that sounded just like Rava. It sounded like he was proving Rav, but Rav and Abaye are disagreeing all the time. So I said, I couldn't figure it out. So I went over to another guy who had an art scroll learning Daf Yomi. I said, how do you understand the statement of Abaye? And he says, Abaye is bringing a proof to Rav. I said, Abaye is bringing a proof to Rav? That's not supposed to happen. But when you realize that you're working towards the same goal, you're all working towards the MS of Hashem, so then even if you're usually arguers, even if you typically do argue, you realize in the end of the day, ultimately, you're all working to the same goal. You're on the same team. Even when it comes to an argument. So that's what it means. Talmid Chacham and Marvim Shalom Ba'olam. Yeah, right. So Talmid Chacham and Marvim Shalom. When Talmid Chacham learn, they're the ones that Marvim Shalom, because they exemplify this trait, that they're able to disagree and still bring a shalom, still bring a completeness and a peace to the world by being the examples of how to do it. Then the Pasuk tells us, Shlomo tells us, Chesed ve'emes ayah zvucha, that Chesed emes, and the truth is that the punctuate, the laning notes on these Pesukim really throw me for a loop, and even the Mefarshim don't necessarily follow them very strictly. Chesed ve'emes ayah zvucha, that kindness and truth should not leave you. Now, this is a three-way machlokas. What does this phrase mean? So first of all, ya'azavucha is reflexive, right? It's referring back to you, ya'azavucha, right? It will not be leaving you, basically. So what does it mean? That chesed and emes will not be leaving you. So one way to understand it is that when you have Torah and mitzvos, so your quality, that trait, that character trait of chesed and emes won't leave you. When you hold dear to the Torah, you'll be a kind person, you'll be someone. And that's what you see in Mitzudas David in source number 11. Ayazvucha al tiyeh nezav mehem ki achoz bahem. Don't be someone who leaves them, who has left them, or they have left you. Ki achoz bahem, because you will hold dear to them, you will hold on to it very strongly. So you won't leave this. So who's the one with the chesed and emes in this interpretation? You're the one with the chesed and emes that you give to other people. There's another interpretation. And chesed and emes al yazvucha, the kindness and the emes won't leave you. And that is who's giving the chesed and emes? Hashem. If you follow the Torah, you follow the mitzvahs, Hashem's going to provide you with chesed and emes. Where do we find this specific phrase? By Yaakov Avinu, right? By Yaakov Avinu. When he's approaching Esav, right? Katonti mikol chasadim mikol haemes. Hashem has given me so much chesed, so much kindness, so much emes, so much truth, and it hasn't let. It's made me humble. It's made me small in my own eyes. But katonti mikol chasadim mikol haemes. Hashem keeps giving me all this kindness, and I feel very humbled by it. So that's interpretation number two, that Hashem is the one that gives it. I looked and I couldn't find someone who actually says it, but there is a, believe it or not, and I'm afraid to actually quote it because I can't tell you that's a reputable source, but there is a Hebrew Wikipedia page for Pesukim, and it has its own parish. I don't know who wrote the parish, but the parish says that chesed ve'emes al yazvucha means that the chesed and emes of other people make sure it doesn't leave you. Make sure you don't forget that other people did kindnesses to you. And then he explained, that this parish explains, that's the interpretation of the next words. Kashreim al gargarosecha. What does that mean? Tie them to your garon. Or it comes from garon, to your neck. Tie them to your neck. So this interpretation, which says that it's other people's kindness that you can't forget about, means give yourself a physical reminder of their kindness. Make sure you never forget their kindness. right? As opposed to just saying, oh, this person did something for me once, and then like 3 years down the road, you forget about it, and you're not really appreciative of it anymore. But you have some kind of semblance or something to remember that kindness by. Always a good thing. I don't know, a photo album or a gift to them. I don't know what it is. But that's what this interpretation explains.
That's one of the traits of the Jew. I mean, you see these Jews, you know, they're 50 years, 70, 80 years later, they're still grateful to some German, you know.
Sure.
Who sheltered right. them or whatever.
Japanese,
but there
yeah.
are other ethnic groups or political groups, you know, who are never satisfied,
uh-huh.
no matter what.
Right here. Ahava shetulu b'davar. That what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Is their approach, but yeah. So that's another interpretation of this pasuk. But if you look at the Rabbeinu Yonah, so Rabbeinu Yonah says, and you don't have it on your source sheets again. I'm sorry, but the Rabbeinu Yonah says kashrim al gargar asach. What does it mean to tie it around your neck? So he says tidaber al midos ha'ela tamid. You should always be talking about this. Well, first of all, the Mitzvah 7, source number 11, Kashrem, wrote to Lamer, B'chol Eistia Medaber Ba V'choshev Ben Yanam. You should always be talking about them. That's why it means on your neck. On your neck means it should always be something that you're talking about. Always something that's on your mind. So that's his way of saying that's how you're going to hold on to them, because you're always thinking about them. But the Rabbeinu Yonah has a different understanding. Tidaber Al Midos Ha'ela Tamid. Always be thinking about these characteristics, meaning chesed and MS that we said in the first, that we just said. V'hi tifartecha ka'anakim al hagaron. And those are going to be your beautification. Your tifartecha, your splendor. That you're going to have this beautiful necklace. V'hizkir alav hashalom ledaber tamen minimidos hanechbados. You should talk about the respectful character traits. Ki hahegyon bahem yazkir lenafsho lizar bahem yo'il l'shomim. It's not only going to be helpful to you yourself when you're always thinking about it. It's always going to be on your mind. You're never going to forget it. But v'yo'il l'shomim, it's also going to help those who are listening. Ki yilmidu divarav tarach hachaim, they're going to listen to what you're saying about how to live. You're going to teach them. Af ki bedabro b'shevach hamida yishadru ha'ochzim ba b'enei hashomim. And even when you praise something, yishadru ha'ochzim ba, and the people that are that already have it are going to think even more specially about it. And if you speak poorly of it, so then it's also going to cause them to think poorly of those attributes. And those people that do have chesed and emes, that do give charity, and you say something about that charity that's no good, they're going to stop giving charity. Right, they're going to think of your words, and it's going to actually affect. And you always remember yourself. Now, this concept is something that I've read in also in David Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow. He quotes an interesting study that has since been somewhat debunked, but is definitely has definitely been repeated in other ways. But you'll see in source number 12. This is the example I remember from their book. I couldn't find it. I didn't have the book with me, so I didn't quote it there, but I found it online from the Wilson Quarterly. Not really sure what that is, but it says the following. The granddaddy of priming research, this concept is called priming, right? That when you talk about something, it affects you, was the famed slow walker study, published in 1996 by John Barth. I think it's Barth. Or Barg. I don't remember how they pronounced it. A psychologist at Yale. Barg asked undergraduates at New York University to form sentences out of a group of words. It appeared that the words were random. In reality, one group of the subjects considered words evoking lonely old age, such as bitter, wrinkles, Florida, alone, and bingo. Another group rearranged words that had no theme. When the experiment seemed to end, the subjects were directed to leave down a hallway. Researchers with hidden stopwatches timed how long it took them to walk the distance. The result? The geriatric words rubbed off. On average, the group that had to rearrange those words walked more slowly than the other group. Words on a page made them act old, Bartlett explains. And this was a study that was very famous and still is famous for the effect that we have. We don't, that our subconscious is affected just by words. And I remember this just based on this Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah says that the chesed ve'emes ayazvicha kashrim al gargar osecha. When you talk about chesed and you talk about emes, you think you're talking for yourself. No, other people will hear it, even if they don't even think about it. They'll hear it and they'll be affected by it. When you talk about charity, when you talk about being kind to people, it does affect other people, even if you think they're rotten, even if you think that they're not such great people. It will affect them. No matter how much, you think to the other, to otherwise, it will affect them, as we see from the primate experience.
That's one of the things I learned in Crown, 30 years in Crown Heights. Be very careful about my words, you know, and always choose terms of respect or compliment.
Right.
You know, try to find something the good in the person,
right,
in your opponent or whatever, whoever you're talking to.
Okay, sure. So that's the Rabbeinu Yonah, that you should speak about it because it will rub off on others, and that has been substantiated by modern psychology, at least based on this study. And then last pasuk we'll do tonight. Umitzachin v'seichel tov b'nei elokim v'adam. You recognize that phrase from benching at the end of Bam Arom. Umitzachin v'seichel tov. It has a different mitzah here. Is not how we say it in benching. I think it's how does it say? Yimtzachin v'seichel tov, right? In benching it says yimtzachin, you will find. You will find. Here, there's also machlokas what the word mitzachin means. Mitzah could either mean you will find, or it means mitzah, you shall find. It's either a directive, or it's a, or it's just simply a descriptive. Is it telling us what to do, or is it just explaining what will happen when we have chesed and emes? Mitzachin v'seichel tov b'nei elokim v'adam, which literally translates to that you will find favor and goodly sense in the eyes of Hashem and man. So this is actually a very important pasuk for something that we talked about a couple months ago already. It's already been that long. That when we talked about the concept of Maris Ayin on Shabbos afternoon, the concept of making sure that you're not doing anything that looks a little nefarious. Looks that way, but it's not. And this is actually from a Gemara in the Yerushalmi in the Shkalim. It says in source number 14, B'shalosh kupol shel shalosh shalosh se'in truma tormines halishka v'kasuv alein aleph beis gimel, that they have three different boxes for donations in the base of ministry. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yevanis, kasuv aleim alpha beis gamma, that they actually had Greek numbers, Greek letters, whatever. Ein hatorim nichnas lo v'pargu chafos v'lo b'minah v'lo b'sanda v'lo b'tfilin v'lo b'kmiya shema ya'ani. Shema Ye'ani. A person should never go in there with any receptacles, lest he become poor. V'yomru, and the people will say about him, May avon halishka halishka he'ani. It's because he stole from the pushka that now Hashem is punishing him, and he became poor. O Shema Yashir, maybe he's going to then become rich. V'yomar mitrumas halishka he'ashir. A person not only has to follow the strictures of Hashem, but also has to make sure that he's clean in the eyes of man too. How do we know? Where is that said to? Who is that said to? That was Moshe saying it to God and Reuven. When God and Reuven wanted to stay in the Transjordan, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, what about your brothers who are going to go fight the wars? So Moshe says, go fight the wars with them, v'yisim nikim Hashem Yisrael, that you'll be able to say to your brothers and sisters on the other side of the river that you were with them also, you didn't do anything that was wrong. And then the Gemara says another pasuk, which is actually interesting why it has two pasukim, umitzachin v'seich atol b'nei elokim v'adam, quoting our pasuk tonight, that you shall find favor not only in the eyes of Hashem, but also in the eyes of man. We quoted an interesting Maharal based on this pasuk, Elokim va'adam. The Maharal says this doesn't mean you have to be. Let's say you have some guy who doesn't know any better, and he thinks that one thing is right, but really it's something wrong. That doesn't mean that you have to go do that wrong thing in order to make sure that he thinks you're a good guy. Just because he thinks it's right, doesn't mean you have to. Why? How do we know? Because it says the word adam. And Adam is someone who has a little chashivas to him, right? Shenikra Adam, Nivra Adam B'Tzelem. And Adam is someone who has a cognizance of Hashem, that he understands the importance of different things. You don't have to go out of your way to make sure that you are mitzachin v'seicha tov b'enei anybody else but in Adam. And lastly, we have a Gemara in Shabbos Kufnan Aleph. that tells us that when you are friendly to others, that Hashem will be friendly to you. I spoke about this in a drasha a few weeks ago. The concept of when we come to Rosh Hashanah, and we want Hashem to say, "Okay, I know you've done some bad things. I will judge you scrupulously as you judge others." If you judge others with a judging eye, an analytical eye, with a critical eye, then I'm going to judge you with a critical eye. But if you're compassionate, you're sensitive, you understand that maybe they made mistakes just like you made mistakes, so then I too will look at you and forego your mistakes. And that comes up in source number 15. Amar Rabbi Yochai Ledvisu, ki asi anya akdimi le rifta. Give the poor person some bread. Ki echa di lakadmu levanecha. Amar le milat kalait. Kailaitas lahu amar lakra kaksiv ki biglal hadavar hazeh. Basically, he's having a conversation with his wife. Why are you all of a sudden being so nice to people? V'tan debei Rabbi Shmuel Gilgal galgal hu shechozer ba'olam. There's a cycle in the world. Tan Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Omer v'nasan lacharachim v'richamecha v'irbecha kol merachim al abrios. Anyone who's compassionate to the people of the world, merachim amalav min Hashemayim, then Hashem is going to be compassionate on him. V'cheinu merachim al abrios, einu merachim alav min Hashemayim. Hashem is not going to help out those who are not compassionate. Another source for this pasuk. Mitzachin v'seichal tov b'ene Elokim v'adam. That when you're a mitzachin v'seichal tov with an Adam, you'll also be with Elokim, will also be with Hashem. You may think that mita kenegamita, exactly. When to the extent that you're going to be nice to others, Hashem is going to be nice to you. And you might think that means that we have to go out of our way to appease those who maybe aren't so Jewish or aren't so law abiding. Perhaps that's why the pasuk first says Elokim and then Adam. Right, it's true that oftentimes, if we're compassionate to people, Hashem will be compassionate to us. But that's not to say that we should always take the person's side before Hashem. We always have to have Hashem first, and then the person, and hopefully those two things will overlap, and you'll be able to be nice to both. But for the time being, we'll have to leave it at that. And next week, we'll have some more interesting phrases that maybe you're familiar with. Chol derechecha da'ehu. Sor Meira, some very interesting psukim that you might be familiar with, that hopefully Kabedas Hashem Mehoncha, a lot of interesting psukim that come up in the Gemara and in other songs and phrases. But that's it for now. The importance of having these character traits, obviously we haven't really gotten to the crux of Avodas Hashem yet, but we talked a little bit about Torah Yatishkach, Mitzvos Yitzor Libacha, the intellectual, the emotional. The intellectual should be for the Torah, the emotional should be for the mitzvos. Orech Yom Mishnos Chaim is not only about the quantity of life, but the quality of life, and you'll do so with the mitzvos and the Torah. And we also said Shalom. When you learn Torah, when you follow the Torah, you'll be able to bring Shalom, Kol Nesivos Shalom, and also that the Talmid Chachamim are the ones that bring Shalom, because they know how to exemplify the true peace between people, even amongst disagreements. So Chesed and Emes shouldn't leave you, whether that means you should be about Chesed, whether that means Hashem's going to give you Chesed, or whether that means you have to remember those people who gave you Chesed. We said that Rabbeinu Yonah, Kashrim al Gagar Osecha. You should always be talking about it, because it'll rub off on other people. And then we just closed off with Metzachim Sechotol Ben Elohim Adam. It's not good enough just to be good on God's terms. You also have to be good on people's terms in order to make sure that they don't suspect you of anything nefarious, even if you know yourself you didn't do anything wrong. Yeah.
Okay. Could you please repeat number 14?
The Shalosh is just about three different boxes that they used to have in the Lishka. I don't know the details of it either, but three different donations that were designated for three different purposes. You had one for the Karbanos, you had one for the building management, the Berakah Bayis and
wood,
stuff.
The wood?
Yeah, like the materials, yeah. That they would replace the materials. I forgot what the third one was. Maybe for Aniyim. Just Tommy. Okay. I don't remember.
They were labeled Aleph, Beis, and Gimel.
Yeah.
Rabbi Shmuel says they were labeled in Greek.
Yeah. You'd have to look at that Gemara to understand why there would be a significance to that. I'm not sure.
Ein HaTorim? What is
Ein HaTorim, the one who is actually taking out the donations to make sure they go to the right place, shouldn't go in with like pockets, and you shouldn't go in with shoes that have room that could be a storage and stuff like that. That's what we had mentioned, to make sure that no one else suspects him of doing of wrongdoing, lest he come to a misfortune or to fortune, and then other people assume that it was because he did something nefarious inside the lishka.
Is it a pocket? I thought it was a partition.
No, it is a partition, but I think it means like flaps or things like something on your clothing, that you could hide something underneath. That's what it means. Either that or it's, if it's behind like a screen of some kind. But I thought this was talking more about what's on his person, but it could be referring to the room itself. I don't remember. Okay, Shkayev. Next week, I feel like we're not going to have class.
Yeah, where are we
2 weeks.
Next?
2 weeks will be legends and lessons. I'll have to figure out what Shkayev we're going to be talking about, but there are plenty to choose from. Welcome, you're welcome to join me then. 8 o'clock, 2 weeks from today. Have a good night, a good week.